every child has to come to a point in their life that they have to realize that Jesus Christ is the only Savior of the world. Is that right? When you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you're saved. Now then, if you didn't have, in fact, like that, I think last week or week before last, whenever it was, when I was telling y'all, a great number of our children, church children, when you have a man and a wife living in the home, that they, when they go to college, in a four-year college, we lose the major portion of them. But it says, if we have a divorced man and a woman in the church, and the children stay with the mother, only 15% of those children remain obedient to God. If the daddy keeps them, and he continues to remain faithful to God and goes to church, up to 65% of the children remain faithful to God. Now, there's something wrong here with this picture. If 65% stay faithful, if daddy stays faithful, but if mother stays faithful, only 15%, that must tell us we need a daddy in every home. Is that right? The fatherly influence that the father has upon the children is absolutely mind-boggling. So whenever a mother and a father get a hold of the facts that's going on around them, they need to realize somebody needs to teach us from day one. When we become a Christian, this book has a lot of requirements for men and women that are Christians. And once we get married, if we're young and we're going to start our family, and we're going to have children, we should have our life totally based upon God's mighty word. And daddy needs to be reading the word of God to his children every day. Every day. Because that's a command from God. For every man to do that. Now then, I will have to say, if you don't do what God says, your chances of losing your children are very, very good. And nobody wants to lose their children and their grandchildren. You want them to love you and walk in obedience to God's word, because nobody wants to see anybody die and go to hell. But unfortunately, the majority of people on the earth are not going to make it to heaven. Isn't that something? I really believe that the majority of people that profess to be Christians are not even going to be in heaven. I think there's going to be a lot of them that go to church that live in sin constantly that, you know, I mean, I hear people all the time say, well, you know, my daddy just died and he was, in fact, I talked to a couple of men out the airport this week, and one of them said, well, yeah, I believe my dad went to heaven, he said he didn't go to church, and he sure did use the GD word a lot. And I said, but he did say he was a Christian. But he said his brother, he said he was a Christian too, and he went to church less, and he used the GD word almost every time he opened his mouth. But he said both of them died, and he said, I sure hope both of them are in heaven. Well, I hope they are too, but I wouldn't bet much on either one of them, I'll have to say that. I'd rather stake my claim on somebody that walked in obedience to God's word, hadn't you? Somebody that is never using the Lord's name in vain, that's in God's word, that's talking to people about Jesus. In fact, I thought about this little story. Somebody sent us an email the other day about a young boy that just died, and he had a vision or a dream or something that he wrote down just before his death. And it says, after the young boy got killed, they found this letter that he had written. And it said he was in a room, and there was a real tall set of little slots, like file card drawers, and said it was real tall and as far as he could see in both directions. And said he's standing there and he's looking at the title on the front of all these boxes. And he's talking about TV movies that I watched. And so he said, I thought, oh, and here he is, a young man, only 18 years old when he died. He said, I pulled that out and it was like it was an endless thing. All these, and I began to flip through there and look at the title. I thought, oh my goodness gracious, I don't want anybody to know those shows that I watched, as he closed that back up. Then he moved down a little bit and says, and people I shared Jesus with on the earth. And he said, I reached up and grabbed it and I pulled it out. It was only about that long. Uh-oh. Is there something wrong with this picture? As a Christian, how many people should we share Jesus with? everybody we come in contact with. Everybody. In fact, to tell that story, I was thinking about Friday. I was out at the airport working on the airplane, and out there by myself, nobody out there but just me, and all of a sudden two guys pull up in a van. And when he pulled up, I said, I stopped working on the engine, walked over to us. Can I help you? And he said, yeah, is that your airplane? I said, yes. And he asked me a couple of questions. Then I said, let me ask you a question. I said, do you guys know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? The guy driving said, yeah. I said, you go to church? He said, some. I looked over to the other guy, I said, how about you? Because he ain't said nothing. Well, yeah, you know, he didn't want to say no. I thought, he don't know Jesus very well. I can tell. You can just tell. I talked to these two guys for at least 30 minutes. I talked to them about Jesus. I talked to them about the miracles I've seen God do. And finally, the guy driving the van sitting next to him, right beside me, I knelt down on my knee right there beside the van. He said, these stories you're telling me, are they documented? I said, oh, yeah. I said, you can go to my website, tlsm.org, and I said, you can see 20 of these videos online of people that have received awesome miracles from God. He said, how come I've been in church all my life and I ain't never heard of not one single story like this till I met you? I said, that's a shame. That'll tell you where the church is at. That'll tell you what our spiritual temperature is in the church. I said, if people don't get healed, they don't believe what God says. There's sin in their life and they're not willing to get rid of it. I said, that's just like you two guys. I said, you two guys had never seen a miracle. And I said, why do you think you happened to pull into this airport, to this airplane, at this time of day, when this one man that knew this was sitting here working on this airplane? I said, it was a sovereign, divine appointment of God for you to be here. He said, well, I guarantee I'm going to go to your website. He got his notepad out and he wrote it down. So I'm not going to forget this and I'm going to go look at this. And he said, if these things are documented, you say, he said, the Jesus you talk about is real, isn't he? How many of you know the Jesus we talk about out here is real? Do you know he's real? Yes, he's real. You know, I mean, I've told this story a lot of times, but I love to tell it on Betty back there. Hold your hand up, Betty, so everybody know who you are. She told me a story. She was trying to design a spreadsheet for of some taxes or whatever, and she was working for a company or something or for herself or whatever it was. And she could not figure out all the formulas to make it work. So guess what this woman of God did? She prayed. Is that a wonderful thing to do? She prayed, and then guess what she done? Went to bed. It was late at night. And so during the course of the night, after her prayer to her God that's real, in a dream or a vision in the middle of the night, he showed her on that spreadsheet where every formula and everything's supposed to be in that spreadsheet. She got up the next morning, put every one of those formulas in that spreadsheet, and that baby's still working today. And there she is right there. Somebody said, I didn't know God knew software. Let me tell you, God is beyond your wildest dreams. Isn't he, Betty? What can God do? Hey, let me tell you, there's no limitations of what God can do. He's so much bigger than we think. Don't ever cut him short. If you have a need, you come to him with your sins repented of, you pray and ask God to forgive you of all your sins, and then you ask him what you want to ask him, and you stand by faith, like on those scriptures that they put on the board there a while ago. We have a covenant. Do you know that's the reason? That's one of the reasons I see God do so many answers. I call him in remembrance of the covenant he and I have on a regular basis, and you need to start doing that too. And when you do, you'll get to see him do great and wonderful things. Then he says here, let's go to verse 15. Let's see how many scriptures we got there on the effort. But if the husband or the wife who isn't a Christian insist on leaving, let them go. In such cases, the Christian husband or wife is not required to stay with them, for God wants his children to live in peace. In other words, if you get married, just like this preacher I told you about, he wasn't a preacher then, that he is now, but when he come home, saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, his wife didn't want nothing to do with what he had, nothing. And so, I mean, there was literally hell in the home. I mean, wow, it was something. He tried everything that he knew at the time to get his wife to continue to love, because he loved her. She was a beautiful, attractive woman. He loved her. He wanted her to stay with him. They had children and everything. But she wasn't willing. No, nothing to do with this church stuff. So she left. And he clearly says there that if she leaves, it's okay. She can leave because he wants us to be at peace. You wives must remember that your husband might be converted because of you, and your husband must remember that your wives might be converted because of you. In other words, if you can get them to live with you in peace, you can continue to pray for them. When you learn how to pray, you can change that man or that woman, either one. You can change them if you learn how to pray. If you're seeking God and he's hearing your prayer. Now, some people, he don't hear your prayer because you got sin in your life that you never repented of. And so by not repenting, he's not going to hear your prayer. 17 and 18. You must accept whatever situation the Lord has put you in and continue on as you were when God first called you. This is my rule for all the churches. For instance, a man who was circumcised before he became a believer should not try to reverse it. And a man who was uncircumcised when he became a believer should not be circumcised now. Verse 19 and 20. We have freedom, for it makes no difference whether a man has been circumcised. The important thing is to keep God's commandments. You should continue on as you were when God called you. So if you were married when God called you, continue on being married. Verse 21 and 22. Are you a slave? Don't let that worry you. But if you get a chance to be free, take it. And remember, if you were a slave when the Lord called you, the Lord has now set you free from the awful power of sin. And if you were free when the Lord called you, you are now a slave of Christ. So when we become a Christian, we're literally free from sin. That I think is one of the biggest things that we fail to realize as Christians. I know it took me a long, long time to understand that when I got saved, that he paid the price for all sin, and I now am no longer a slave to sin. I don't have to sin anymore. It has now become a choice. Just like the first time I was married, of course, divorce never entered my mind because I made a pact and a covenant with Betty, my first wife, that I would marry her till death do us part, and I meant that.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, To Marry or Not, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.